That's right. It is the Rundown, but it's Chase McCabe and Marquise Munson today. Welcome in. ESPN 102.5, the game here on a Wednesday, or as Ryan likes to say, hump day, as we are halfway through the week. I know.
I forgot to inform you that I was not going to do that.
That's okay. That's totally fine. Not only are we going into the second half of the week, but we are in the second half of 2020, and I think I speak for everybody when I say, okay, this is good. We've somehow made it to this point with this crazy year. I feel like we're a second half team. The comeback is on, and we're gonna be good. We're gonna rebound in the second half, come back and win this year, and be ready for 2021.
Yeah.
All right, ready, break.
Yeah, see, there's a gif that says, like, you know, they had us in the first half. So I ain't even gonna lie. Like, that's 2020. They had us in the first half. I'm not even going to lie to you. 2020 got us. But, you know, they it's fine, you know. I'm going to put Tua in the game, and then we're going to see how this second half of the 2020
goes.
We're
going to Tua. That's right. We're going to Tua.
We're going to Tua in the 2020.
Yeah, I like that. I said this to somebody. If I see, towards the end of this year, if I see one tweet, one Instagram post, one Facebook post, one anything of somebody saying, 2021's going to be our year. Yeah, no, 2021's going to be all of our years, okay? We've all had to suffer this, so.
Yeah, because it can't be as bad as this year, no, right? No, like, it can't be that bad.
We got to rebound for 2021. But I guess we're going to do like a year or a first half in review at 9:30. That should be fun. That should be interesting. Maybe we don't need a review. But some things going on in our state, in the mid-state. So a little background for you. Marquise, because one of the first things that I did at ESPN 102.5 The Game, I was a part of a show called The Game Blitz that was on Friday nights. It was our high school football show. Joe Dubin, who's now at Channel 4, and he's actually going to join Willie and I today at 12:30 to talk about this. But we spent 5 hours every Friday night talking high school football with Joe and the Sudzo, Michael Waddell. Had a blast. Ryan was a part of that show. Ricky was a part of that show at one time, so we had a lot of fun with it. So high school football is near and dear to my heart, and with everything going on right now, so much uncertainty, high school football, I mean, who knows what it's going to look like this fall. Right now the season is going to be delayed just because of a state order. The TSSAA came out yesterday and they said, due to the Governor Bill Lee extending the state of emergency order through August 29th, that is going to, no matter what, delay fall sports from getting underway. That includes girls soccer, football, of course. So they're not going to be able to start their seasons on time. I believe August 29th is usually around the first game for high school football. So no matter what, the season's going to be delayed because they can't practice, they can't do anything until then. And there's going to be a board meeting today at 10 o'clock. They're going to decide what's going to happen. I know there are a lot of different proposals out there that we'll read in just a second. But high school football, I have always called the purest form of football. This is kind of where, I know there's peewee, but this is really where you learn just about the brotherhood and all of that is football, and can take that into life or your next steps in playing the game. But I don't know. I know it was a big deal in Alabama, I'm sure. But this
For sure.
You know, if they don't play on time or don't play at all, move it to the spring or whatever, it's just, there's going to be a void this fall.
No, absolutely. And the where I came from before, we used to broadcast high school games on two different stations. And so, yeah, I've worked closely with high school athletics as well, you know, throughout my career. And it's a lot of journalism, like journalism students, it's a lot of their like first beat that they ever get, is because you get to learn, because you have to come up with unique stories. You know, it's not like the press conference scene where you got to go, you know, to go talk to Nick Saban every Wednesday or whatever. You know, that's why, like, when you first get into journalism, they let you do high school sports first, because it kind of teaches you a lot of like different fundamentals of what you do in I'm not gonna say actual journalism, but in professional sports, in college sports. So you get to learn a lot and have a lot of unique and different stories, and tell a lot of these kids' stories before, you know, they get told on ESPN or at ACC network or whatever. So it's definitely, you know, heartbreaking to know that, you know, a lot of these kids won't get that opportunity right away. Because, you know, I'm not going to rule out an entire season just yet, you know, but right away, you know, I know these kids were itching to get back on the field. And, you know, it's sad, man. It's a little bit sadder than the professional sports because you know that, you know, yeah, those guys are, you know, they're not playing, but they're still getting paid. And, you know, they're still making a living. But with a lot of these kids, man, especially in certain, you know, neighborhoods and certain areas, like football is a lot of what, like, a lot of these kids had. And, you know, that being taken away from them as well is pretty sad.
Trevor Maddich was on with Jared and the GM yesterday for his weekly spot, and he discussed just how important high school football is to the overall ecosystem of football.
Well, the second part of your question I'll start with. I mean, what might this mean for college? And I think what it means for college is what it would mean for the recruits coming into college. It's possible that it could be pushed back farther. It's possible we might only have a season of 4 or 5 games. It's possible that there won't be a high school season at all. And one of the subsets of people that will affect is those late-blooming high school football players that are not really on the radar of colleges for scholarships after their junior year, but who would come into their own their senior year and find themselves with offers to go play college football on scholarship. That's kind of what happened to me. I mean, I didn't even start my junior year. My senior year was the first time I had ever earned a starting position at any school sport.
That's Trevor Maddich on just how important high school football is. And I've seen, I mean, we've all seen that. And you've heard those stories of guys that they either started playing late or they were late bloomers. I mean, we all know about growth spurts and that, you know, you come in as a freshman, you're a beanpole and can barely get around. And then all of a sudden by your senior year, you look like a full grown man. And that happens a lot, and you see guys break out their junior and senior year in football. I mean, obviously, missing a season or even delaying a season, you know, is going to have long term effects on that. And here are so I pulled up the proposals that the coaches can vote on. And like I said, there's a board meeting. They're trying to come up with the options of what could happen. But Tom Crager, who is just a staple in high school football for the Tennessean, has put out, so schedule or proposal one, condensed season, 8 games, 4 round playoffs. So that would keep it in the fall. 2, flip-flop fall and spring sports. So, and I've talked to some other sources that have told me that that's on the table, that basically you would take girls soccer and football, put it in the spring, and I guess put baseball and softball, and I don't know about boys soccer. Put that in the fall, the Virginia plan, and that would mean that the season would start in February. So a lot of different things on the table. Mine, I don't know about flip-flopping because you're affecting a lot of things at that point by you know, just alternate or flip-flopping sports. I think that's affecting too much. To me, I would rather just play 8 games and, you know, play it in the fall. That way everything is on schedule for the most part when you're looking at recruiting, when you're looking at what the next steps are. Because, you know, a lot of these guys that play football, I mean, they go from football to basketball to baseball or to track or whatever. And so trying to keep everything lined up, I think would be the best course of action if possible. But that's kind of how I see it. But I know you have a kind of another take on this, Marquise, about just the overall impact of high school football.
Yeah, and to get to your point as well of just starting the season later, you know, when you got early enrollees, are they going to push those back? You know, because those are usually December and February where you can, you know, obviously you got to commit to a college. So are they going to push those dates back as well? You know, it's not only it impacts high school, but it also impacts, you know, what colleges have to do as well. But to me, and this is just my personal opinion on this, is when you do this and hopefully the season just doesn't get delayed I mean, it's probably going to get shortened, but hopefully it doesn't get delayed too much to where
really don't think it's going to get canceled.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to get canceled either. But my whole take is, you know, you have a lot of college athletes or high school athletes who already getting recruited. They've been getting recruited since their sophomore, junior year. And so those are not the guys that I'm worried about, because I think they'll be fine. They're already recruited. You know, I think they'll be fine. I'm worried about the kids who was looking forward to going into their senior year to have an opportunity to get that scholarship. It is hard to get into college. I know personally, you know, because we both went to college. I took a different route. I didn't do athletics. You know, I went to a community college first and then went to the University of Alabama. So I had a different path. I didn't use athletics. But I know a lot of kids in my position that had the same life that I had and lived in the same type of neighborhoods that I lived in. They're not afforded with the people in those ears to tell them to go to community college and to go to a university afterwards. So they use athletics as a way to get into college. So my only worry is, by canceling a season or whatever, you're just ruining a lot of these kids' opportunities to get a scholarship to get into college. Because at the end of the day, like, there's a lot of kids who have that mindset of, I'm going to the NFL, and a lot of those kids will. But a lot of those kids also use this opportunity to get scholarships to get into college to get an education, to make them some, you know, tax-paid citizens, you know, down the line. And those are the kids that I worry about more than anything. Is I don't want them to lose out on an opportunity, because I know plenty of kids from just me when I went to high school that a lot of kids use that senior year to get a scholarship at maybe not a University of Alabama or, you know, a Auburn, but to get a scholarship at a Southern Miss or a small Division II or Division III school, and they use that senior year to get that. So I just don't want that opportunity to be taken away from a lot of kids, because a lot of these kids who, you know, play in some of these neighborhoods and some of these areas, they can't afford college. And the scholarship is a perfect way for them to get into college. So hopefully they'll still have that opportunity. Hopefully colleges, you know, still look at a lot of these kids and give these kids opportunities, because, you know, that's one thing I want to see.
Well, and just to kind of put it all in perspective, the first year we did the Game Blitz, we were talking about a kid named Derek Barnett. We were talking about a kid named Jalen Ramsey. I mean, those are two right there that we know what their careers have become. The national championship game between LSU and Clemson featured, I want to say, five, maybe six Tennessee Mr. Football winners. So it shows you what can happen with a, you know, a good season and delaying or canceling, which I don't think they're going to cancel the season, because so many of these schools rely on that gate, and there's a financial aspect to high school football and the gate money, not having fans. Now, again, if they don't have fans, then that's going to affect things. So that could be a reason to push things back. But I just, I hope that it all works out, because, like I said, high school football is near and dear to my heart, and the points you just made are spot on, because a lot of these kids, this is how they get to go to school after high school.
Absolutely.
Is football or athletics in general.
But, yeah, just don't – and then it's different, too, with a lot of sports, because, you know, it's not like when you play basketball in high school, because you have AAU and you have high school. And it's not like baseball, to where you have travel ball and you have, you know, your high school ball. So like, football is it, man. This is it. Like, there's no AAU in football. There's no travel football. This is it for a lot of these guys. So, you know, this is an opportunity. There's no, you know, there's camps that they can go to possibly, and, you know, these different things. But a lot of that's probably getting postponed, too. So, you know, this is their opportunity to showcase the talent that they have, and to be able to earn that scholarship at whether it's Division I, II, or III. So, you know, I just, even with a shortened season, like, hopefully they get enough games to where they can showcase their talent and they can be able to go on and go to college and be successful, whether that's the NFL or whether that's a boardroom somewhere. You know, hopefully they still get that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. When we come back, we'll parlay this into college football talk and how college football, a delay in the season or whatever, would affect things, too. We'll do that when we come back. It's The Rundown. You can weigh in, 615-737-1. 1025 on our text line or call in. Chase McKay, Marquise Munson, ESPN, 1025 The Game. RockNashville.com is your community resource page. Check it out for information around town, including Nashville's Good to Go initiative, CDC updates, ways to donate to Second Harvest Food Bank of Middle Tennessee to support their mission of feeding hungry people, as well as other ways to help the Middle Tennessee community. That's RockNashville.com. Chase McCabe and the Big Boss Man, Marquise Munson, hanging out with you on the rundown on a Wednesday. So we hit the high school football angle, and again, there's a board meeting at 10. They're going to try and figure some of this out of when they can get the season in, whether it's delaying the season in the fall or playing it, you know, possibly in the spring or in February. But what about college football? I mean, this is another part of the debate, because as we've said, Marquise, pro sports, it's different because they're getting paid a lot of money. So there's more of a negotiation. The players all have a union. I mean, they can get into a room or on a Zoom call and figure this stuff out. But with amateur athletes, because that's what college football, that's what high school football, that's what this is, it's different. And I Reese Davis, who does a tremendous job with ESPN, for game day, of course, he asked the question, what's a reasonable assumption of risk with these athletes?
These players have value, and they should be treated like every other student on campus in terms of the name, image, and likeness. Now, right. People are going to say, what in the world does name, image, and likeness have to do with COVID-19 and whether we're going to be able to play? And the point you brought up and the point that the UCLA players brought up in terms of wanting third-party independent oversight in terms of their well-being really underscore what those two things have to do with each other. You know, nobody's ever going to say that they are requiring them to come back. They're going to say, look, if you don't feel comfortable, sit out. But we both know that that's not reality. And I think where wisdom comes into this, Scott, is what is a reasonable and moral assumption of risk? We assume some risk in everything that we do in life. What's the right thing here?
Reese Davis, ESPN. So something that really pops out at me is that third party, having like a third party in there to help negotiate. I do believe that I don't believe it. I know it. That universities, they make tons of money off name, image, and likeness. This has been a debate for a very long time, and we're seeing changes in that where players are going to be able to actually get something for their name, image, and likeness. But when it comes to this and COVID-19, I mean, I do believe that they should have a seat at the negotiating table, so to speak, not necessarily having a college football players union, but they should be able to have more of a voice to decide what's best for them because they have so much on the line. I mean, you look at high school football, that these guys are, that's their way into college. Well, college players, I mean, this is their way into the NFL or the NBA or what have you. So I do believe that there needs to be more, they need to have more say in negotiating and deciding the decision process of coming back and playing this season.
Yeah, and it's probably not going to be equal because there's a lot of, let's say, for example, Philip Fulmer's take on how to handle this situation may be a lot different from Greg Byrne at Alabama's, you know, take on how to start the season. So that's where, and, you know, I know you discussed it a lot too, and this is why a lot of times you may need a commissioner. You may need a guy who can, you know, maybe it's Greg Sankey. Maybe he's the one that, especially with the SEC, maybe he's the one that brings everybody together. That's just like, okay, we got to come up with a common ground to either start this season, delay the season, or what to do with this season. And look, I understand, like, everybody is affected by a affected college football season. You know, I'm from Tuscaloosa. I live, you know, in Tuscaloosa. Went to high school and college there. And I know how much that money that school makes for that city alone and how many hotels they build every time I go home. I'm going to go home tomorrow. I'm pretty sure there's a hotel being built right by my house somewhere, you know, just because that's just the way it is. And that's the way it is for a lot of college towns. And I understand that. I understand the effect that your city will have and the impact that the money will have. But you also have to take into account that, look, How are you going to protect? If you're going to protect the students a certain way, you got to protect the student athletes the same way, because they're still students at the end of the day. So if you're going to hold online classes only, then what's to say that you're going to have a football season? Because obviously you don't feel that your students are safe enough to go on campus. So what are you going to make the students go, or the student athletes go play football? Like, it's just like, and this is the point I made, you know, when we filled in last week, of you can't justify having students on campus and then not start college football. So then if you don't have students on campus, then how do you start college football? So right. So that's going to be the dilemma that they're going to have. And, you know, and there's going to be players that probably the same thing we see with the NBA, same thing we see with, you know, with the NHL and MLB. We may have players that just, you know, back out and say, I can't do it. A guy like Trey Smith, who has, you know, health conditions, you know, right. He has blood clots. Like, would he want to risk, you know, his senior year? And obviously he could have went to the draft. Is he going to risk that for playing another season? You know, and it's just, well, there's just so many, there's so much uncertainty. Yeah, absolutely. But there's so much uncertainty of whether or not the season's going to start on time, whether or not we're going to even have this season. And I love college football more than, you know, next to the next man. But if it's not safe for them to go out there, man, I don't think they should do it.
Right. And what I was saying, too, with having some sort of representation or a, you know, whatever you want to call it for the players, I understand that it is a very, very small percentage of players that are going to go to the next level. I get that. I get that a majority of these players are going to, as you said, are going to make their career in the boardroom or something. You know, they're going to go do something else. They're going to go, you know, do what we do. But they're not going to play in the NFL. But they still should all have a voice and all be a part of the decision-making process, because at the end of the day, it's their, I mean, they're the ones risking it. I mean, they're the ones that are going to go on the field and tackle each other, I mean, laying on top of each other. I mean, I will always go back to an interview we had probably 2.5 months ago with Rick Stockstill, MTSU's football coach. And he said, so, you know, if it's not safe to have fans, then why is it safe to have these guys laying on top of each other on a football field? And I'm paraphrasing exactly how he worded it, but it's true. And I think that that's where we have to look at all of this. And we are, I believe that, you know, we have all these plans in place for the pro sports to come back, but it hadn't happened yet. So you have to, I mean, I know the MLS, the Nashville SC left today, or is leaving today. So they're close, but you also have to, there's just going to have to continue to be discussions, and it's different with amateur athletes. So, again, I love college football. I want college football this fall. I get pumped up for it. But like you said, Marquise, it's got to be safe for everyone. And if it isn't, then we're just going to have to adapt.
It's a lot different. And I don't want this to sound like, you know, oh, well, you say you want high school football players to play in the last segment, and then this segment you're saying you don't want college football players to play. It's a lot different because you're on a campus. It's not like the NFL or the NBA or, you know, Major League Baseball or hockey, to where you go home and you're going with your family and that's who you're around. You're around your team and your family. And in high school, it's the same thing. You're around your team and your family, and then and maybe students. You're on a campus, of thousands of students who are around other thousands of students. So it's a lot different when it's college football, because you're on this college is just a bubble in itself, and like, that's what you want to try to avoid, is just having your student athletes around all these other students that you don't know if they have underlying conditions, or whether or not, you know, they have the virus, or you're not going to be testing everybody in the classroom. So it's just, it's different ramifications that you have to take with college than any other sport.
When we come back, we are going to do our first half in review, which probably won't take that long. But I saw this. We put this out on 102.5 The Game. Regular season conference records since the SEC expansion of 2012. This is going to be interesting, because I'm going to try and name some losses for a particular team. We'll do that when we come back here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stream 102.5 The Game from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app. Enable our Alexa skill or Google Home and ask to play 102.5 The Game, or live stream from our website, thegamenashville.com. Welcome back into the Rundown. Chase McCabe at the home studio. Marquise Munson back at his home studio. The Wholesale Link studio is powered by RumbleOn.com. He's got his posters and his couch moved in. He's just having a good time there with Ian Zafar as they hold it down.
Yeah, I'm going to put a Kobe poster in here somewhere. I'm just trying to figure out
we
where.
We should have a Kobe poster.
We should. There. We should. I have one in my bedroom, which, you know, I mean, I have Kobe all through the house. Like, it's Kobe everywhere. So, you know, that's how I like it, man. Got to keep the Mamba everywhere you go, man. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 615-737-1025. We were talking college football. We'll get into these SEC records in just a second, but I know Joe wanted to weigh in. Joe, welcome into the Rundown.
Hey, gentlemen, good morning. I just wanted to say, as far as athletics should have nothing to do with it, either they're ready to open the institution back up or not. I mean, we all understand the cash role that athletics play at the collegiate level, but, you know, you're either open for business or you're not, because primarily at the end of the day, like you gentlemen said, they're student athletes, so students first. One of the things that you guys touched upon was, you know, images, likenesses of the players, and I got to be honest, I've always thought that college players, you know, should definitely get some kind of financial compensation. I mean, let's look at this for a second. The university, in some instances, is actually triple dipping. I mean, they get money from the government, they print money when it comes to college athletics, and then you get students paying tuition on top of that. I mean, one of my early mentors in life taught me that you are the CEO of your brand, you know, represent appropriately. So they should have money. We were joking as far as college players getting paid with some friends back home that I think the Patriots just signed Cam Newton for less money than he was making at Auburn, for Christ's sake. So, I mean, you know, when you think about that. And the last thing I wanted to touch upon on that topic, you know, with Tua coming out of college and the expectations being so high, what's your guys' take? Because we always know that a draft choice is an unproven commodity. So would you rather have a guy like that and have to put all the money out at the risk? Maybe he could be, you know, a franchise player or maybe a bust, or would you rather roll the dice with a guy like Cam Newton and basically, what, pay him, you know, $18 an hour and see either he's going to get cut before training camp or maybe they'll be playing the Chiefs in the AFC title game. Guys, love the Rundown. Thanks so much for taking my call. Appreciate y'all. Have a great day.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Listen, I think that Cam Newton's going to be week one starter for the New England Patriots, so I'll go ahead and answer that question.
And I think, too, it would be week one starter for the Miami Dolphins.
I think that's the plan, but it all, like, if he is 99%, I don't think he is. If he's 100%, yes. But they're going to protect their investment and make sure he is absolutely good to go. And that's what they should do because they're not in a hurry. Let's be honest. I think Miami is better. I like the moves that Miami made during the offseason. I love their coach. I think they made the right coaching hire a year ago. But they don't have to rush this thing. It's not like they're, you know, all of a sudden going to go and compete for the Super Bowl right now. I think it's going to take a little bit of time, maybe a year or two away. So I don't think you have to rush him in there. Give him time to grow into it. I think Tua is going to be a star in this league. I do. I just think he has it. You look at his intangibles and take what he did at Alabama, and obviously you have to – that's gotten him to this point, but he just has it. And you just – but you got to get it time. You got to give him time, I should say, to develop and not rush him in there. So we'll see. We will see how that works out. All right, so we posted this on our Twitter account at 1025 The Game earlier today. Regular season conference records since expansion in 2012 in the SEC. So that's when Missouri and Texas A&M joined the Southeastern Conference. It's hard to believe it's been that long. It feels like it wasn't that long ago. So one thing that really surprised both of us is the team that's last on this list with a record of 13-51. This is a conference record, 13-51. It's not Vanderbilt.
It's not Vanderbilt. See, look, all this trash talk we give Vandy of being the worst team in the SEC, records show that they're not the worst team in the SEC.
Right. And I know, you know, they – so I thought about this when I saw this. I was like, well, I guess there's some – but Franklin was gone. I think Franklin left, if I'm not mistaken. When did Franklin leave? Was it 2013? That he left for Penn State? I'd have to look that up. But this has mainly been Derek Mason, and we know that the early years were tough, and then it got a little bit better. And but they're 19-45, so they're not last. Kentucky 20-44, because if you really think about it, it's been the last couple of years that Kentucky has had their resurgence. Tennessee 22-42, Ole Miss 25-39, Missouri 30-34, Mississippi State 31-33, South Carolina 31-33, Auburn 33-31, A&M 34-30, Florida 41-23. The other thing that surprised me is LSU, and I guess you have to factor in, you know, Les's last couple of years, but they weren't second on this list. They're third, 44-20, Georgia 48-16, and Alabama 57-7.
Yeah. So
the expansion.
So when you look at James Franklin's last two seasons at Vandy in this expansion time span, he was 5-3 in the conference and then 4-4. So that's probably
okay. So he was there 2 years then.
Yes.
During this, okay. All
right. So he was there 2 years. So 9 of these wins come from James Franklin, and also like 7 of these losses. So he's 9-7. So he can be an NFL coach with that record.
Yeah. No, he'd work out just fine. All right. So here's the game. Alabama has 7 losses during this time. I'm gonna try. I know you know him, but I'm gonna see if I can figure this out. So I know one of them is LSU this year and the Iron Bowl. So that's 2, I should say.
Yep, that's 2.
Right? So there's 2. So LSU and the Iron Bowl from this year. So 5 more. I don't remember the years, but wasn't it back-to-back years they lost to Ole Miss?
Yes, it was, unfortunately.
So was that like 13-14?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there?
Yes.
Okay. So there's 4 of them. There's the kick 6.
Yeah, that's
so
one.
That's 5. The year that they played LSU in the national championship game, LSU beat them in the regular season.
That was before 2012.
Was that before?
That was before 2012. That was actually 2011.
You're right. It was. Okay. So I've named 2 Iron Bowls. Is there another LSU loss that I'm just not thinking about, or was this the first year?
There's been some close LSU game, Alabama games in that time span, but no.
Okay.
There's not. But you are missing. You're missing a team and another game.
So I'm missing another Iron Bowl that I have forgotten about, right?
Yes, you're missing an Iron Bowl and one team.
So they've lost the Iron Bowl 3 times in this time span.
Yeah. They lost 3.
So one to Chizik and 2 to Malzahn, or 3 to Malzahn?
No, it was 2. Not Chizik. Well, it was three to Malzahn, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's 3. Kick 6, the one from last year, and then one more.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember the one more, what the year was.
Okay.
Wait. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you got to.
It was it 2 years ago? Because wasn't that the bet that Jalen Hurts had to wear the Auburn jersey, but he had the championship in his backpack.
Yeah, okay, that was right. The year that, fun fact, that was the year that Alabama won the national championship against Georgia.
That's right. Okay, and the other loss.
And Jared Stidham beat Alabama that year.
That's right. The other loss, they lost to Johnny Football in Texas A&M.
Yeah, that was actually the first loss of this expansion.
Yeah, 2012.
So it was 2012.
Okay.
So that's all 7. So they lost 3 to Auburn, 2 to Ole Miss, 1 to LSU, and 1 to Texas A&M. They've beaten everybody else.
Okay.
It could have been a lot higher than that if they would have lost 2 to Georgia. It would have been 9. But
I'll say this. I know Tennessee fans knew it, but when you break it down like that, the fact that it's been that long and that since you've beaten Alabama.
Oh, no. It's been officially this week like 5,000 days.
Yeah.
5,000 days. It's been 5,000 days since Tennessee has beaten Alabama.
And I don't see the end in sight. I believe Tennessee's getting better. I believe Tennessee's going to be in the conversation in the next few years, but I have to see it.
I'm going to say it like this. If Tennessee wants to beat Alabama and end that 5,000-day losing streak, they better do it this year. Because if it's not this year, when Bryce Young plays quarterback, it's definitely not going to be Bryce Young's years. So if Bryce Young plays 2 or 3 years at Alabama, it's not going to be those. Beat Mac Jones. They almost beat Mac Jones this year. So Mac Jones is going to be the quarterback.
I'm going to tell you this. Here comes a hot take.
Oh, boy.
I do believe Alabama is going to lose to one of those teams that people are going to go, how did they lose to that team? I do think that's going to happen this year, but I don't think it's going to be Tennessee.
Who is it going to be then, Chase?
I think it's going to be the Lane train in Ole Miss.
I think Lane's
going to put everything into it, and he's going to mess around and win a game he's not supposed to win.
Okay, just not this year. Next year, if you tell me, I don't know. Look, when Bryce Young plays, I think that's a championship.
So is he the next one?
He's the next one. He's the next big deal. I think I'm not going to say he's better than Tua. I'm not going to say that yet. Because he hasn't played a game.
I mean, come on, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going
to
say that.
Don't
yet.
Do that to yourself.
Yeah, I'm not going to say. But I will say this though. I will say this because I can confidently say he'll be better than Jalen. I can confidently say he's going to be better than Jalen. Don't know if he's going to be better than Tua just yet.
Jalen's somebody that I pull for though. I like Jalen.
No, I love Jalen. Jalen's awesome. He's fantastic. But because people forget that year that they lost to Auburn, they played Mississippi State that week before. Almost lost that game in Starkville. But the last drive of the game, Jalen Hurts throws it down the field to Devontae Smith and he scores the game winner. So people give Jalen a lot of flack for losing Alabama games and not, you know, having enough dog in him and all this other, you know, BS that people say about Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts can ball. He can ball. When he can ball, he can ball. So Carson Wentz, look out.
Who says he doesn't have dog in him? That's ridiculous.
Look, when you do 2 years of radio in Tuscaloosa, you hear a lot of crazy things about these players, and that's one of them. Like, Jalen Hurts can't throw a football. Like, I mean, he could clearly throw a football because he plays quarterback. So if he couldn't throw a football, he wouldn't play quarterback. He's just athletic. I think Jalen's problem was he was too confident in his athletic ability that he didn't focus on the quarterback intangibles on top of his athletic ability. And then Lincoln Riley got to him and focused on the quarterback intangibles and his athleticism. So now he has the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I will say this. If he had another year with Lincoln Riley, you could be having a totally different conversation about Jalen Hurts.
No, absolutely. I think, in my opinion, because I like Baker Mayfield. He's good. I think if Jalen can just work on the QB intangibles, I think he can be better than Baker. Yeah. In my opinion, a better pro.
I don't think you're wrong.
A better pro, and I don't think he'll be better than Kyler Murray. If Kyler Murray had Jalen Hurts' size, though, Kyler Murray would be a monster if he had Jalen Hurts' size. Because it's Jalen Hurts' size that puts him over the hump of the other two, Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield. But they have the quarterback intangibles that he doesn't. He's more athletic than I think Baker Mayfield is, and if he gets the quarterback intangibles, he'll be better than Baker Mayfield.
So does Kyler Murray keep the trend going in his second year win MVP?
Yeah.
Because think about it.
I think Pat
Mahomes, was it his second year in the league or his second year as a starter?
It was his second year as a starter.
Right.
Because first year in the league, I think
he
played.
Backed up Alex
he was a backup. So second year he started, and then third year he won MVP.
Right.
And then Lamar Jackson.
And then Lamar. And yeah, I think Kyler could be in the discussion.
Not this year. I think he'll break the curse. Not this year. Next in a few years.
It's not a curse. It's more like a trend.
Well, a trend. He'll break the he's going to break the trend because he's not going to win MVP. It's going to be Drew Brees. I've already put $5 on it.
I promise we're going to talk first half of 2020 when we come back here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Darren, Donick, and Chase coming up at 10 o'clock today. We'll have a big show for you, talk more about high school football. But Drake Hills, who covers Nashville SC for the Tennesseans, is going to join us at 10:15 as Nashville SC gets ready to head to Orlando. Kermit Davis, our friend, now the head coach at Ole Miss, of course, spent a lot of time at MTSU. He's going to join us at 11. So good show there with Willie and yours truly. But we are officially in the second half of 2020. We know that 2020 has been quite a year, is the best way to put it. So I think this is, you know, we're doing a first half review. I mean, there's not a lot to discuss. The biggest story in sports is the fact that in the first half, sports stopped due to a pandemic. There was no NCAA tournament. The NCAA tournament got canceled. We were here with the SEC tournament. You were at Bridgestone Arena when the SEC tournament got canceled in the middle of it. So that's how we're going to view 2020, when sports stopped. This is a year that there's probably going to be a 30 for 30 about, or some sort of documentary. We're going to talk about it forever. Yes, you had big moments. You know, I got to travel for the playoffs and went to my first NFL playoff game in 2020. That was a lot of fun, watching the Titans run to the AFC Championship game, losing to Kansas City, Kansas City winning the Super Bowl, Andy Reid finally breaking through. Yes, there are actually on the field, on the court, on the ice stories. The Winter Classic, you know, for the Predators, even though they lost, Peter Laviolette getting fired as the head coach. But we all know the big story in the first half, and that's how sports came to a screeching halt due to COVID-19.
Yeah, I'm never that person that every year at the end of the year, like New Year's Eve, I'm going to say 2020 is my year, or then this up and coming year is my year, because there's so many like questions and optimism like going into the year. This year sucks. I'm going to say that. Basically. This year's awful. This has been the worst year I've ever been in. This has been an awful year. I lost my favorite athlete of all time this year. I will always remember the year that I lost my favorite athlete. The one interview that I wanted to do the most, I can no longer do. We've lost legends this year. We've got sports pushback. It's been awful. But there is a positive, because even though the sports got pushed back, the startup of it again is exciting, and the buildup is exciting to me. Not only that, I didn't have to wait until, because around this time is when we were really originally supposed to watch The Last Dance in like June. So we got to watch that early. So that's a positive. That, yeah, sports got canceled, but we got to watch The Last Dance. I didn't have to wait because I got tired of waiting. Like, the wait was over for me mentally. But the startup of sports coming back, and knowing that in 30 days I get to watch 7 NBA games in one day, in one sitting, that is exciting. The fact that we're going to also get MLB, Major League Baseball, hockey, and basketball all in the same month, and on top of MLS, all in the same month of July, that to me is exciting. So yeah, 2020 has sucked. It has, because I lost a legend, but pushing back sports is bad. I got to be without sports for 4 months, but guess what? I got to catch up on shows that I didn't have the opportunity to watch because I've been too busy watching sports. So we're going to get all these sports now, July, August, September, October, November, December. That just all depends on college football and the NFL. So, it sucks, but you know what? There's some positives to take away from it. And that's one positive, that we get to watch bubble basketball and watch people in
bubble ball
and watch people call the snitch hotline for players, you know, acting erratically in the bubble. So it's some bad stuff, but it's also some good. Yeah. Some good.
Well, and I was telling somebody yesterday that, you know, I've gotten closer to people because you've actually had the time to sit down and talk, whether it's on the phone or Zoom or what have you. But that's been a positive, you know, reconnecting on some relationships. So I think that you just kind of have to look at it that way. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited about sports coming back. Your tweet this morning was perfect. Since it's the second half of 2020, I think we should put Tua in. I think that's where we're at now. It's time to put Tua in. Go win the game. Wasn't our half. This is where we're at. But second half team. That's what we are. That's how I'm gonna look at it. Because yeah, if all goes to plan, we get sports back. We get to talk sports for the rest of 2020 and beyond. But it goes with just doing what we need to do. I don't like wearing a mask either. but I'm doing it.
I don't, it's hard to breathe in that thing. I understand, because trust me, like, I had to adjust my mask every now and then, but it's important. Like, this week especially for me, like, that's why I've kind of stayed in, because I know I'm going back home, and, yeah, you know, I'm going to go see my grandma and my mom, and, you know, and I don't want to bring anything back to them. So I wear a mask everywhere I go, and I stay away from people until I go home. And you know, I'll still wear a mask, because, you know, I'm not, like, I looked at Tuscaloosa. They are not following the same guidelines we're following.
Yeah, what's up with that? Okay, so some college students.
They are not.
Some college, I guess, Alabama students in Tuscaloosa, they knew they had tested positive for COVID. They knew they had it, yet they went to a party anyway. Is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah.
Like, what's
up? I say that with hesitation, because, you know, it's not a good representation of what I want my city to be, and then I have to go there for 2 weeks. Like, so I'm going there this weekend to go see my grandparents and my mom, and then I'm also going there next week and going to a lake. So I'm going there for 2 straight weeks, and now I'm like, don't want to go. Now it's mandatory that everybody wears a mask in Tuscaloosa now. I think it starts today, and it's like for the next 30 days.
It's mandatory here. And I'll say this. So I went and met a friend for drinks yesterday. I actually took my picture outside of First Horizon Park right after Minor League Baseball and the Sounds announced the cancellation of the season, which we knew that was coming. And I had my mask on. And basically it was you walk in, you everywhere you go around, you have your mask. Once you sit down at the table, you can take it off. And you're right there with the person you're with. And then if you get up to go to the bathroom, put it back on. And I didn't even think about it. It just became a routine. Like I said, I don't love wearing a mask either. But if it helps, if it works, and there are some statistics out there that are showing that it does, then do it. And if that's what we need to do to get everything back to semi-normal, then I say do it. We just, you know, but I see all these posts of people beeping and complaining, there's a word I want to say, about I'm not wearing a mask. Well, okay, then stay in. If you don't want to, then just stay in.
Keep yourself on that end. We'll just put the people that don't want to wear a mask, you can have your own city. You can have your own city. Don't wear a mask and do everything you want to do, because I got to be safe for not only me, not only for the people that are around me, but also everybody else in Nashville. And I don't want things to get canceled again.
No.
I don't want basketball to get canceled again. I'll be pretty mad if I'm hyping up this in 30 days. I'm going to be watching, you know, 7 games on TV. If I don't watch those 7 games, we're going to have a problem. We're going to have a big problem.
I'm having a lot of fun on iRacing, but I don't want to do that 24/7. So,
yeah,
like, you know, I want to be able to live my life again.
Look, I've had fun on NBA 2K. Like, my guy plays for the Lakers. You know, he's finally a starter. I took Rondo's spot, finally, about time. They should have been starting me. I had 2 double-doubles. I'm cool with that. But you know what? I want real basketball now at this point. I want the real Lakers on the court, even though our Lakers are the one seed, so right now, so we're still balling out.
LeBron, hey, like the theme of the show, if LeBron say we hooping, we hooping.
LeBron needs to say wear a mask, because LeBron say wear a mask.
If LeBron say we wear a mask, we're wearing a mask.
We wear a mask.
That's right. That's how this works. That's going to do it for today's edition of The Rundown. We'll be back at it tomorrow at 9, but stick around. Willie and, or Donick and Chase coming up next. Darren on vacation, ESPN 102.5 The Game.